I've got so much to speak tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and make some of my announcements now. Everybody's settled in, and we'll get into the teaching. But I wanted to get this announcement out to the entire Ignited Church and just tell you all, first of all, I love you. I appreciate everybody. Appreciate what's going on in the body of Christ and how God's moving through the prophetic. I got a lot of things to say. Let me go with this first thing. If you'll go to our website, there's a prophetic word that the Lord gave me for September. I don't know if I will touch on it this Sunday because I never know what he's going to have me teach on, but you need to go to our website, Facebook, or some other media sites that we have and just get a hold of this word. If I can, I'll have it printed out and I'll put it on the back. But it's a word about September. And we're headed into some dangerous territory, and you just need to listen to it. You can read it as well. I'll just give you just a small glimpse of how it all took place. I was preparing for my interview with Lynn Lee Oz on yesterday morning early, and the Lord spoke to me of what he wanted me to speak on, which was going back to Ezekiel chapter 7, like we preached on at the conference, and of course some of the other messages. And so I knew that's what he wanted me to do. And then as I was meditating on that, he spoke these words to me. He said, a September of sorrows, a September of sorrows. It was almost like a title of a book or a movie. And then around 2 o'clock this morning, he woke me up and he gave me the complete download of that word. And I released that word on printed page, and then I made a video for YouTube and for our website as well. So you need to check that out so you can get familiar with what the Lord is saying. And so there's some confirmation from other prophetic voices about it. And so it's going to really be amazing. And then we had the interview. The interview was absolutely awesome. I always enjoy speaking with Lynn Lee Oz. We just have a kindred spirit, and we just be able to flow when we speak. A lot of times when you do interviews, it's kind of hard to speak to people. They don't ask the right questions, or they don't ask anything or whatever. And so there was a good anointing, a very strong anointing on that. And so that'll be released soon. And when it does, I'll let you know. But all of these things are confirmation about what's taking place on the earth today. And so I want Ignited, for you guys to be on the cutting edge and to be prepared, as I know you are, but take it to your next level. That's all I can tell you. Take it to the next level. Get to another level of seriousness with God, and get some stuff, fixed up between you and him. We're headed into some ominous times. That's the first thing I want to speak to you about. The second thing is, in the past, I've done everything I could to be a part of any natural disaster that has taken place since Hurricane Andrew. In the youth of our ministry, into where we were able to deliver 1.2 million pounds of food and supplies to the victims of Katrina. And that was a phenomenal experience. But I can't get on the ground this particular time. I really want to be in Houston and do something with our relief. And so that's probably not going to happen with me physically. But the Lord put on my heart to get a hold of Chris Leonard. You remember Chris Leonard? And Dora, his wife from Texas, as he always says, the nation of Texas. In fact, they went to Cuba with us. They're going to be our missionaries for Ignited Church and for World Outreach Ministries. In fact, they're preparing right now. They're getting water together in a U-Haul, pallets of water, coordinate with other people that are down in the Houston area. We've transferred some funds down to his to where he is so that he can go buy more of the water that they need, baby products. I think diapers is a real big need. And so we just want you to know that we're going to have boots on the ground this Saturday representing Ignited Church. Greater than that, representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't just preach this from this church. We do it. We're workers, and we want to see these things happen. And so I want you to please pray for Chris and Dora. There'll be other people that are getting involved. Please pray for them as they go down there, because it's very risky to go into those places. In fact, I contacted him on Tuesday, knowing when the storm was about to pass through, because I've been in that situation before. It can be very dangerous with looters, with robbers. Just everything can go wrong when you're in a place like that too soon. Okay, and so this is the right time for them to go. I don't know how many more trips they're going to make, but they're going to go on this first trip. They're filling up the U-Haul, and they're going to take supplies down there and help out. Okay, this is the one thing we must understand in this hour of judgment is that, you know, we preach judgment because we want people to be warned. We want them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must remember God is still merciful. Let me try that again. He's still merciful. He still loves those people. And the scenes that you're watching on TV are nothing compared to what people are saying on the ground. The death toll you're hearing is not the number that is not the true number. Believe me, in these disasters, it's a lot worse than they report. I don't know why, but they underreport these things. Maybe it's for panic. I don't know. So, having said that, I just need you guys to pray. Amen. And believe God for it. I went to social media with it. I only gave them just a little bit of a tidbit of what we're going to do. I'll get back on Facebook probably tomorrow, and I'll explain a little more that this is just a test run. And, you know, if anybody wants to match what we sent down there, that's fine. That's great. You know, we're not trying to, you know, raise a bunch of money and it not go anywhere. Everything that we raise will go there. Amen. And so we're real excited about it. So don't forget, this Saturday, Chris and Dora, they're leaving from where they live in Moran, Texas. And I think it's, I was trying to get with Chris tonight, I think it's 400, 500 miles or something like that. It's quite a bit of a travel. And they work a full-time job during the week. So this is their weekend thing that they're going to do. And I'm very grateful that they, you know, they agreed to do this for Ignited Church and for World Outreach Ministries. Amen. I don't know what other churches are doing, but I know we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to do what we can do, because I'm going to tell you what this means. It not only shows the compassion of the Great Commission and the love of Jesus Christ, it also sows a seed into the future when you're going to need it. I mean, people get high and lofty and all that, and they can act all prideful, but let me tell you something. It rains on the just and the unjust. You know, what's funny is this same rain that's on us today was the rain that was on them. Same system. Isn't that amazing? Of course, we're not going to see the incredible downpours. But the point is, you never know when something can happen that can be disastrous. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to come like dominoes from here to four. Calamity and crisis will happen like dominoes. It may not be every day, but there's going to be things that are going to shake the earth and shake people to their very core. Amen? All right, so is that all good? I had to get that out. You had a question? Yes. Yeah. Just see me, or if you put it in the offering, just put down there. We're calling it Hope for Houston. That's all we're calling it, Hope for Houston. And you know, that's above and beyond your tithe and offerings. This is just a love gift that you want to do, and we'll make sure, you know, it gets taken care of. It gets sent down there. And, you know, the first bit of money that we gave was from missions, and so you know, we're just thankful to do that. So, yeah, if anybody wants to do that, be mindful. Also, on the internet, those that are listening tonight, we have a button, I think, already put up there for giving. So if you want to do it electronically, just hit there. And we're not going to do it, like I say, for a long period of time. We're just going to see how this goes. It's very fluid. And with these operations, sometimes, you know, you get a lot of help, and then they don't need so much. So we just got to see how it works. What I'm seeing in this particular disaster, it's going to be a long, long, long time. They're going to be needing help. Amen? All good? Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We do bless Chris and Dora right now. We do send the angels before them. We do send contacts before them in Jesus' name, and they will get to that destination with safety, favor, wisdom, and they'll be loaded down. And Father, somehow you're going to multiply the money sent. Somehow you're going to multiply and give favor, Father God. And I pray this spreads like wildfire, that other churches get together and show forth your love, Father, and show forth your grace. Now we thank you for that. We plead the blood of the Lamb over the entire outreach of Hope for Houston. And we believe the best is going to come in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. And amen. Well, so much is going on, exciting things. By the way, we're closing on the building on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Praise God. A good thing is they got a lot of business going on over at the lawyer's office, so they kicked us to next Tuesday. And we said, that's fine. That'll give us a couple more days to get some nickels together. Amen. But God is good. All right. Prayer. We've been talking about and teaching prayer. By the way, if you saw our website, we got a new design, and we finally got it to where it's not going to be so, slow, trafficky or whatever. And so we're glad it took us a little while, and we got that together, and we're going to get some of our prayer up in a separate section so it's a little easier. So just be patient with us. We're trying to do everything we can. Amen. And I can only tell Pastor Jennifer to do so much. I mean, she just, I don't know why she wants to go to bed before 12, but she does. All right, the prayer of intercession. Somebody probably believes that, you know. Somebody probably believes that. I bet he's a taskmaster. No. Almost, but no. Okay, last time we got together, we're talking about the prayer of intercession. Covenant relationship, it reveals covenant secrets. How many of y'all enjoying this teaching? Is it helping you all at all? Is it increasing your prayer life? I hope it does. But covenant relationships reveal covenant secrets or mysteries. Things that are hidden from you are really hidden for you. I wish we would get that understanding that God is not against you. He's not playing a game with you. There's only one type of game I believe that the Father really plays, and that's hide and seek. He hides so you seek him. That's the only thing, and that's a wonderful relationship, you know, because he wants you to just come find him, and, you know, and then all of a sudden there he is around the corner, and he goes, hey. But things that are hidden from you are really hidden for you, and God wants you and I to discover these things, okay? So it's the Lord's timing and our pursuits that opens these secrets or these mysteries. Again, intercession opens those doors. It gives us access. Remember, intercession allows us to join heaven in knowing and releasing these secrets. Say it again. Intercession allows us to join heaven in knowing and releasing these secrets. You know, hearing secrets from God is not so that you can be the best gossiper. In fact, he won't give you secrets if you're a gossiper. If you're a tell-bearer, you don't get the secrets of God. But if you are a worshiper of God, and if you are a person who intercedes for people and intercedes for things that are going on, he'll show you a lot of things because he knows that the secret can be safe with you. I'm always cautious with people, and it makes me cringe when they want to give every revelation they ever had about God and all their intimacy with him in prayer and all these different things and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, wow, where'd the privacy go? Where did the intimacy go? Where did the, you know, the quietness and the secretness of your relationship go? I'm not talking about prophetic words and things people should know. I'm just talking about the things that God speaks so softly to us. How many of y'all have been around people like that? They got to tell you every revelation, and it's like, well, that's cool, but, you know, I don't want you knowing every revelation about me. Can I get a witness? All right, so we talked about that. It's too much here. It's too good. We're in Genesis. Where were we? Genesis chapter, is that 18? Is that where we were? Yeah, we were talking about Abraham and talking about the intercession. And that was awesome. And how that God just said, I know him. Remember that? I know him. Boy, you know, it's one thing for you or for me to point you out in the crowd or you point me out in the crowd and say, hey, I know you. But it's another thing when God says, I know you. You mean me? Yeah, I know you. Of all the billions of people on earth, I know you. So that was amazing because Abraham was an intercessor. Okay, that's a recap from last time. All right, the prayer of intercession for tonight. Write these principles down. This is a word the Holy Spirit gave to me back when I was in Bible college. I never forgot it because it impacted me so strongly. He said this, prayer places you in people's lives and makes you a part of them. Prayer places you in people's lives and makes you a part of them. Very powerful truth because, you know, when you pray for somebody, it's hard to talk about them. When you really intercede and you really pray for somebody, it's hard for you to talk negative about them. It's really hard for you to let somebody else say something negative, isn't it? Why is that? Because you became a part of their life through prayer. You've made that investment. I've made an investment, you know, in somebody. I'm not going to sit there and allow you to badger them. I'm not going to badger them myself. You know, I'm going to be in part of that investment through intercession. Okay? So prayer places you in people's lives and makes you a part of them. Watch this. Association with those in need of prayer gives you access to the answers for their lives. Association with those in need of prayer gives you access to the answers for their lives. Okay? Read it one more time. Association with those in need of prayer gives you access to the answers for their lives. So if you're in association, you're in connection with them. And when you begin to pray, that gives you access to help get their prayers answered. Isn't that right? You become a part of their life. You become part of their needs and their support system of receiving answered prayer. So you become associated with them. Okay, we're going to go a little deeper than that in just a second. The Father is looking for intercessors. I want you to write that down. The Father is looking for intercessors. We're going to need intercessors like crazy. You need a job in the kingdom? Guess what? There's a big opening right now called intercessors. Come on. The entire city of Houston, the entire Gulf States need intercessors praying. And we better be careful that we don't act like the sons of thunder. And we don't act like those calling down fire from heaven and then see it and then rejoice over it. Because that's not the heart. That's not the heart of God. That's not the heart of a true believer. We're supposed to cry out and say, God, have mercy in the midst of judgment. You're righteous. You're holy. You spoke your word. But God, I pray for mercy for them souls. I pray that, Father, they come to know you. I pray that you'll send evangelists into these shelters. I mean, if your heart doesn't break when you see these photographs, you know, you're callous. Amen. Even again, when a nation has backslidden and when a people have fallen and have turned, you know, away from God, we still have to be ask God to be merciful. Okay? Because, why? That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's the ministry of compassion. It's the ministry of intercession. It's the ministry of love. Okay, so I just had to put that out there because so many people, they have a wrong understanding of the prophetic and judgment and end times, and they think that God's just out to kill everybody. No, God's trying to get people's attention. Wave at me if I'm making sense to you. And intercessors have to step in and say, God, you know, I don't know whose last day it is, but all I know is I'm interceding for somebody to get saved. I'm praying that somebody comes out of the flood waters and says, oh my gosh, you know, I'm gonna preach the gospel around the world. Believe me, there are a lot of believers right now in Houston. There's a lot of believers in that area now because of these things. All right, so he's looking for intercessors. Go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah real quick, Isaiah chapter 59. We're going to go to a lot of places. Again, give me some time tonight. I had to make those announcements. Nobody was late, so I can't blame it on anybody. Remember that? We used to blame it on people. And then everybody would turn and look at them because they knew we were going to be here 5 more minutes. We used to do that in the old shoebox over there. But that's not going to happen tonight. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 59. Man, again, you want to read the whole thing, but just go to verse 9 so you can get an understanding, a backdrop. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noon, day as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. So he's talking about judgment. Now drop down to verse 16. Watch this. And he saw. Who's this? He's talking about God. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Let's look at that. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered. The word wondered is shamen. That's C-H-A-W-M-E-M. S-H-A-W-M-E-M. And that's 8074 if you're going to go research it a little further. And the reason I brought that word out is for this. Watch. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered. And he wondered. It means this. It means he was stunned. he was stunned. And not only stunned, it means he was appalled. He was appalled. And even further into the definition, it means he was horrified. Now look at that. Think about this for a second. This is God speaking. This is an indication of what he was dealing with. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered. He was shocked. He was stunned. He was horrified. He was appalled that there was no intercessor. There was nobody that would stand up and say, and at least try, and at least plead with God and intervene and entreat and come before God and say, God, you know, have mercy. Are y'all catching this with me? One of the jobs of the prophetic of the last days in the last day church is not only just to prophesy judgment, but it's also to walk in compassion and to be an intercessor. How do we know that God may not turn from one way and deal with it, deal another way? We don't know, because sometimes his movements are past finding out. In fact, many times we can't understand. If we can't tell which way the wind blows and we can't understand the wind itself, you know, we don't understand God sometimes. But an intercessor is one that just stands up and say, Lord, you know, I just plead. I plead with you today. But he couldn't find none. And he was stunned. Y'all reading the same Bible I'm reading? Therefore his arm brought salvation unto them, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Now, go to Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel 22 real quick. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Just want to build a little bit of my case here, a little bit of the teaching foundations, and then we're going to bounce right into where I want to go and where we're going to go for the next couple weeks probably. I don't know how long intercession is going to last and how long prayer is going to last, but I have this feeling, like I told you in the beginning, it's going to be a little while. Is that okay? Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them. Ladies, you're included, so don't think you're not allowed to pray. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. Everybody say hedge. That means a fence or a wall. You remember I've been preaching recently about building a wall for your family? I've been preaching about building an ark. By being like Nehemiah, you build that wall. You build a wall of protection. How do you build a wall of protection? Through intercession. You build a wall of protection through speaking the word over your family. Amen? You declare the word of the Lord over your seed. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before who? Me. He said, I'm just looking for somebody that will just stand up and come before me. You say, well, where's my invitation? It's the blood of the Lamb. You've already invited. You're part of the beloved. This isn't for preachers. This isn't for the guy with slick hair and shiny shoes. Of course, mine are bright tonight. Got my Yalers on. But just because you ain't got Yaler shoes tonight doesn't mean you're not qualified. Of course you're qualified. The blood has made you righteous. Amen? But he said, listen to this. And to stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The greatest ministry that any of you can do in here, including myself, is not stand up and preach with a microphone. It's to pray. It's the greatest ministry. It's the greatest opportunity that all of us are equal at. Well, she prays better than me. She knows all the King James words. So what? Use the Message Bible words. Use the Amplified Bible words. It don't make no difference to God. He just wants you to stand before him. Read it again. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. That's pretty sad, isn't it? And see, we can't be that way. No matter what God is going to do, and we know judgment is here, we know judgment is going to continue, we've been preaching this for a long time, we've watched the slow bleed of it all, we still have to stand in the gap and say, God, you're sovereign, but have mercy. Your will be done, but have mercy. Okay? Now, I gave you that foundation teaching so that we can go on to where we need to be. I'm going to give you three keys. I'm only going to give you one tonight so you can come back for the others. But I'm going to give you three keys about intercession that are imperative that we all walk in. We need these. And these are lost keys I'm going to speak to you about because they come from some older writings of a great intercessor. And I'll share that later on with you if you remind me. So this is not no newfangled thing. This goes way back. Key number one that we're going to talk about is identification. Key number one is identification. And it goes in with my opening words that I gave you. Identification. Identifying. Key number one to intercession is identification. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Some of y'all need a Band-Aid for your paper cut because you're turning to the Bible so much. You all right? Someone said, I need a tourniquet. It's too much Bible reading. Hey, there's people that just, serious, if it ain't up on the screen, they don't know what to do. Isn't it? We have the capacity to do that here, but I want you to look in the Word. I love the Bible, man. I love feeling the pages and smelling the page. Y'all don't do that? I do. I take that Bible, put it over my head, and I'd say, oh, God, help me. Woo-wee. Isaiah chapter 53. You there? Therefore will I divide him. This is talking about Jesus. Is that right? I'll divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. Let's begin with the first part. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. See, he's being identified. Do you see that? Identification. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. So the first thing we need to see, the greatest example of intercession, is Christ on the cross being crucified. He was numbered. There was identification, and there was association. As I began in the beginning, statements about association with those in need of your prayers. He was numbered. Think of that for a second. The word numbered there in the Hebrew means that he was reckoned, or he was assigned, or he was appointed. In other words, he was made part of the transgressors when he had no sin at all. Do you see that? He stepped into our sin situation. He stepped into our iniquity. He became sin. He became iniquity. He became sickness. He became disease. Everything was cast upon him, and he interceded between himself and us and God. Do you see that? And so intercession begins with identification. I identify with the sinner. I identify with those right now that have lost family in Houston. I identify tonight with the little boy who hung on his mommy's dead body. Y'all know the story? I identify with the child tonight. I identify not in my own strength, but what Jesus did on the cross. And all I can do is intercede and show them the cross. You say, well, you're not there. No, I'm not there, but Jesus is. His Spirit is there, and I'm interceding from right here in Livonia, Georgia. We're interceding on this cross here at Ignited Church for everyone that sends in prayer requests. We intercede. We stand in the gap. We make up a hedge. We make up a wall. This isn't for gimmicks. This isn't for a show. It's for reality, because somebody needs an intercessor. And God said in the beginning, I can't find nobody to identify with the sinner. We want to identify with all the rich folk. We want to identify with our color. We want to, come on, somebody. We want to identify with society. We want to identify with things that make us popular instead of identifying with transgressors. Jesus was numbered with them. So when you looked at the thief and you looked at the other guy and you saw these two thieves and you saw Jesus, he said, I'll be placed right between them. I have no problem being identified and placed between two thieves. Some of us, you know, if some homeless person sat down next to us on a bus, we try to find the next seat. I'm talking to the lady in Detroit back there because we don't have no bus up here. No, what's a bus? Barb said, we got buses everywhere. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, we don't want to be around certain peoples. We don't get want to be around certain kinds. And I'm talking about church folk. We're talking about we don't want to be numbered with them. Oh, I don't want nobody seeing me with them. I don't want nobody. No, but see, intercession says that. I'm not talking about you hanging around people that are, you know, wanted by the law. Don't hang around them because when you get pulled over and they start pulling seats out and all that, you're going to be laid on the ground with them. If you ain't never been there, that ain't fun. Especially when 10-10-10, you know, a little whatever his name, Run 10, whatever that stupid dog name was. Yeah, Ren 10-10, whatever. I was thinking of Cujo. Some of y'all even know who Cujo was. I don't know. That was. I'm a Rottweiler fan, so I don't know. But you get my point. Jesus said he was numbered with the transgressors. Again, that is identification. We have to identify with people in our prayers. We have to put ourselves in their lives. Doesn't mean, again, we hang out and we hook up and we act silly and all that stuff. It just means that we plead the blood and we get before God and we say, God, I pray. Listen, we ought to be praying for this opium addiction and this Holocaust that's happening in America. If you've ever took a few minutes on the internet and watched the number of people that are dying, it will blow you away. It will blow you away. We're losing more people to opium death than we did in the Vietnam War. We don't know that because we're too busy watching Mr. Rogers and eating TV dinners. I wonder if they still got them TV dinners anymore. Them things were awesome. You get that big old meat patty in there. They ain't got nothing like that anymore. Hey, I know. I was raised on TV dinners. Somebody wave at me. You know what I'm talking about. But it's insanity that's taking place, and we need to intercede. I mean, I told you this before from the pulpit. In Ohio, they need to get refrigerated vehicles in order to supply the places for the mortuary. And this isn't Cracky the Clown underneath some overpass. These are professional people. These are teachers. These are people of wealth and people in the middle class. Well, guess what? We got to be numbered with them. We got to pray. We have to intercede and say, God, we know we deserve judgment, but in the midst of that, you know, your desire is to wake people up. So we intercede and we say, God, even though you're going to do what you're going to do, we still ask, can we pull one out of the fire? Well, maybe we can just pull two out of the fire. Well, how about 10, Jesus? Come on, think about Abraham. Maybe we can pull 20, 30, 40. So Jesus had no problem. Watch this again. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He poured it out. He just said, I'm pouring my soul out. That's what intercession does. It pours out the soul. Now, later on, I'll teach you about the spirit of intercession when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And there's a whole different thing about groaning in the spirit. And that's later on. This is just intercession where you make yourself available. You step before the throne of God and you say, God, I just pray for this situation and I intercede for this person and so on and so forth. Okay? But you pour out your heart. And then if the spirit of intercession comes upon you, believe me, you'll know it. But again, that's later down the road. Okay, so his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Is that what it says? He made intercession. It wasn't just the thief on the cross. He made intercession for you and I. He made intercession for everybody that would ever be upon this people planet. He interceded. You say, how do you know? Luke chapter 23. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke chapter 23. Did I give it to you? Luke 23? You don't have to go there. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. I want to make sure I gave you the right verse. Father, forgive them. Do you think that that prayer still exists today? Absolutely. But he identified with us. You see, that's why we can't forget where we came from in our relationships and when we were lost in sin. That's why I believe this church is so special, because we recognize where we come from. Every one of you have a testimony. Every one of you, including myself, we have a testimony that most churches couldn't handle. In fact, they'd put us in a special room. Hey, praise God. God gave us a big room. They would. They would give us a name of a ministry. The deplorables. They'd do something. They'd say something about us, wouldn't they? Come on, you know that, because every time you go to certain churches, if you had a certain type of past, they're going to label you and put you in that group. Oh, you need recovery? Go to the recovery room. Well, I've been recovering for years. The elder don't even want to look at me. She's looking down. But isn't it true? How many of y'all know churches about that? And you know, the first, hey, how you doing? Oh, so you've been divorced 20 times. Oh, it's good to have you here. There's a room over there for you. Oh, that nice tattoo. Is that your prison number? There's a room over there for you. Is it true? And I understand there's people, you know, they need recovery and they need help and all that. But why do we brand and label people all the time? Well, we don't do that here. But Jesus, he made intercession for the transgressors. He said, I'll be numbered with them. I'll be labeled with them because I'm their answer. And he interceded. He interceded for you and I. Going back to my original point, when I was lost, thank God somebody interceded for me. Yes, Jesus did it on the cross, but somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for you. You're sitting here not on your own ability. Somebody prayed you in this church. Someone prayed you into the kingdom of God. Somebody prayed you out of that car accident. Somebody prayed you out of that gunshot. You know, when I think of these things, it just makes me want to praise him and run up and down the church building property and just look at the dead churches out there and say, how can you not be thankful? Because you forget that somebody interceded for you. It's good teaching, isn't it? It's making my heart, you know, it's making my heart more pliable, because I want to be an intercessor. So here you go. He says, look, man, I make an association with the sinner. Again, this is the greatest example of intercession and identification. So the first one is identification. Go to Ezekiel. Let's go there real quick. Ezekiel chapter 3. And I promise you, you won't have to turn anymore tonight. Get a cramp in your wrist. All right. Identification. I need to identify with the sinner. I need to identify in my prayer life. I need to identify those in my community who are struggling. You want a prayer ministry, just drive by the county jail and stretch your hand out the window and pray. The nursing home, intercede. I'm going to tell you, you'll never be unemployed if you're an intercessor in the kingdom of God. I heard one intercessor say this one time. She said, if you're looking for things to pray about, go get your daily newspaper and open it up and start praying. Right between the eyes. Take the phone book and start declaring over the phone book. Just run your hands over the A's and over the B's and the C's and the D's. And just begin to run your hand over and begin to prophesy and begin to declare. Walk around the phone book in your house. Y'all think that's crazy? You're identifying yourself with them. I don't know everybody in the book. I don't know all these people. God does. One of the things that I do when I do intercessory prayer, and I'm not saying this to use as a highlight, I'm using it as a teaching example. And Jennifer, I've done this for years. We walk around in the seats and speak people's names. and just declare them in these chairs. Amen. Y'all remember we've done that before, interceding in the little shoebox. We got a lot of names to fill up, don't we? And they're going to be here. All right, so Ezekiel chapter 3, watch this. Let's begin with verse 1 so we get a little backdrop. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat thou that findest, eat this roll and speak unto the house of Israel. And so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with the roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go and get unto thee the house of Israel, and speak with them my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech or of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Now watch this. He's talking about going there, speaking to them, going to a place where they would be familiar with him. He'd be familiar with their speech. But drop down to verse 15. Then I came to them of the captivity at Telabib, and dwelt by the river of Chebar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. First of all, I want you to see this. He said, I sat where they sat. God told the prophet, take my words, eat them up. They're going to be sweet for now. And then I want you to go where they are. And then I want you to sit where they sit. What is that? Identification. He identified with the people of Israel. He was going to pronounce judgment. He was going to declare the word of the Lord. But he sat with them 7 days. He experienced the coming in and the going out. He experienced culture. He experienced everything around him. And he was familiar with them. This is a very powerful principle, because if you and I are ever going to be successful in winning our community and winning the world to Christ, we're going to have to learn how to identify with people. We're going to have to learn how to identify with races. We're going to have to learn how to identify with different cultures. We're going to have to learn how to identify with those that are hung out in drugs and alcoholism and abuse and some of the most putrid things that take place in this country and world. Okay? And that's what he did. He sat where they sat. Now watch what he says. He said, I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. The word astonished is the same word Isaiah 59, when it talks about how God was astonished of there was no intercessor. Isn't that amazing? He was astonished. He was amazed. And here the same word is used for Ezekiel, because he was just totally stunned. He was horrified by the sin. He was horrified by their actions. But he became acquainted with them. Amen. That is very, very powerful. So I want you to write this down. I'm going to close with this. Write this down. We must join ourselves with the pain and the suffering of others. We must join ourselves with the pain and suffering of others. Again, like Ezekiel, he sat where they sat. We're going to have to learn to do that. You say, how can I do that, Pastor? I mean, I can't go out and hang out with the drug addict and blah, blah. Well, you know, you sit where they sit by intercession. You become acquainted through faith. And you say, God, help them be delivered. Instead of just saying, oh, that dirty old sinner. And just shaking your head and going on down the road. We look at them with pity and we say, God, save their soul. I intercede. I become numbered with them. I get my hands dirty in prayer. I get my hands dirty in intercession. So we must join ourselves with the pain and suffering of others. And the last thing I want you to write down is our prayers must be prayed with the realization and identification of where they are at. Our prayers must be prayed with the realization and identification of where they are at. Again, this is very simple. It sounds so simple. But to get ourselves to do it, we find ourselves in the position where God's looking down and he becomes stunned because he can't find nobody to do it. Can't find people to pray. Can find a lot of complaining, but it's hard to find intercessors. So key number one is identification, and we're going to go into two different steps that are really going to be a blessing to you. And I pray that you identify yourself with the sinners and with those that are going to need help. We're coming into a season where the body of Christ is going to be in a rescue mission type of atmosphere. We're going to be rescuing a lot of people in the coming days. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word spoken tonight about intercession, identification, association, being numbered with the sinners. Father, I ask that that would come upon Ignited Church in a greater way, that we would be associated with those that are in trouble, that need you, that are lost, that are suffering. Father Houston is a great example. And may we continue to intercede and plead with you and entreat you and ask, Father God, would you save souls by the multiplied thousands down there? Would you send, Father, Holy Ghost men and women with the gospel? There's Bibles. There's homes that have no Bibles anymore. Father, we're not even thinking. There's people that can't even go home. There is no internet. There is no Christian television. There is no more Christian books. There's no Bible. They have nothing of that. God, send forth warriors. Send forth men and women that'll go down there and storm the gates of hell and bring the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to these who are war-torn. Father, when we looked up these pictures, it just looked like Bangladesh. It looked like India. It looked like the floods of China. It looked like a foreign country watching people walk with children on their backs. That happens in other countries. But Father, judgment has come to this nation. And I pray that we in this church, and those listening to me tonight, would be numbered with the transgressors. That we would be a part of the pain and suffering of our brothers and sisters here in America and around the world. We love you, Father. We bless you. And we ask that you continue to bless Ignited Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you, and I'll see you Sunday. You're blessed.